Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, here we go. Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us on a Wednesday night on the grid. A very, very busy Wednesday night. There's a ton going on. College basketball madness. Games up the wazoo. Tournament action. Championship week a few days away from Selection Sunday and getting the brackets for the big dance, but we have all these conference tournaments going on tonight and the rest of the week. I've got a couple of them working here. We'll get you up to date on everything that's happening in a moment. So we have lots of college rack to do. There's some NBA games tonight. There's a couple of hockey games. We have the Players' Championship being off tomorrow morning. So you know we've got to get you involved with the golf as well. It is a Mike Carver with you, sans Joe. Joe out on assignment. It is a Carver and sometimes Lisi evening on CNL, of course. That means that we do have a couple friends stopping by. Brady Cannon will be here later this hour as I'll go over the players with him. And then we will also have in hour number two, our buddy George Kurtz. Lots of football moves. We'll get some puck action from him as well. You know that Hit Burbell is in the mix as well. And I know he's having, listen, you know, we sometimes technical problems happen from time to time. Not the usual open. But Matias found a way with the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I wouldn't say, Matias, I'd want to make that the permanent Carver and sometimes Lisi open. But we may have to eventually come up with, like, an open just for Carver and sometimes Lisi. Like, we might have to eventually tag something to that. Since it's so often now that it's Carver and sometimes Lisi, we'll have to do some work on that. He is busy tonight. I don't even know if he's going to be talking back. There he is.
So I'm ready to roll. And you're right. I'm great. I'm ready to roll. You know what? You're right. You know, we do need to get a new tag song for Carver and sometimes Lisi on a Wednesday. A new project.
Sometimes Lisi on a Wednesday. We'll have to get it here. Let me start things off by letting everyone know what's going on. And that is specifically with some of these games that are cooking in these conference tournaments. Here's the one that's already causing me a problem. DePaul leads Georgetown 60-55 at the Big East. And what do you know? I'm on Georgetown. So they got a lot of work to do with 8.5 to go. And, of course, this is another one of these, you know, well, it's not bad enough that we're on them pregame. We had to just keep, like, Vermont last night. Smash, go in for more. So, you know, if Georgetown can, like, just win the game, like, that would be good enough. But they're in a fight here with DePaul, 13-18 this year. But sometimes, you know, you throw the records out when you get to championship week, as we've seen in a few. And this kid on DePaul, this number 35, he just keeps completely smashing Georgetown underneath the boards. This Benson, 35 for DePaul. He scored he must have scored their last 10 points, and they're up 7 now as they are extending. And that is bad news for the Hoyas here out at the Garden. Elsewhere, Smash City. Me and Joe talked about this last night. Mississippi State up 20 at the half on LSU, 44-24. So they're taking care of business down in Nashville. Final of the Patriot League. American leads Navy by 9 at the half, 37-28. So the winner of that game will find themselves in the bracket on Sunday night when they are released. Air Force up on UNLV at the half, 25-21. Now, as you know, Air Force They are horrible. 4-27 this year in the Mountain West. UNLV 17-14. The game's on their floor. Can we get a status check here of what they're giving us live for UNLV? Hey, they're giving you Georgetown plus 4.5 live right now as well. We're going to stay away from that. We've gone in enough. Still UNLV minus 5.5, and they're down 4 at the half. UNLV minus 5.5. This game, of course, closed at 11.5. UNLV was laying. So no faith in Air Force to keep things going there. Baylor up 18 on Kansas State. Smash City in the Big 12. There, that second round game, with about 16.5 minutes to go in that one. And the other game that is live is in the ACC. They're at the half where Stanford has a 38-32 lead on Cal. I like Stanford in this game. We're on Stanford. Cal's played a lot here over the past couple days. They played a 4-overtime game with Notre Dame on Saturday, double overtime game with Virginia Tech yesterday, and now playing their bitter rivals here, Stanford. And they're down 6. They actually did get out to a little bit of a lead, but not a good scene for them right now. How about Iowa finishing off an upset of Ohio State at the Big Ten tournament? So Ohio State, who was a bubble team, loses to Indiana this past weekend. Now they lose their opening game at a Big Ten tournament against Iowa. And I'm going to have to check as the night goes on some of the gurus, the bracketologists, out there and see if that is maybe going to be a problem for the Buckeyes come Sunday. And Iowa now gets themselves move on. I believe they will play Illinois tomorrow, if I remember the Big Ten bracket off the top of my head, which I try to this week. You always important who the team that wins, who they're playing the next day. McNeese won the Southland tournament as well, a 9-point win over Lamar. Lamar with the cover, if you had him with the 12.5 there. And we have a lot of games to come tonight in college basketball. USC and Rutgers, that'll be the next game at the Big Ten. You have also got Seton Hall and Villanova, the final game at the Big East. Oklahoma and Georgia, the late game at the SEC. UCF and Kansas, the late game at the Big 12. Syracuse and SMU, the late game at the ACC. Couple of Big West games tonight in Henderson. We talk about the Big West a lot here on Carver and Lisi because it's a conference that we zero in on because they play late at night when we're on. And we have two games tonight, including the Gauchos, who are taking on Bakersfield and laying 5.5 in the first game. And then Cal Poly and UC Davis in the nightcap. And I've already gotten the hit for bell tip of the night. What the hell did you call Cal Poly? They got some other name that I had never heard before in my life. What'd you call Cal Poly?
The locals, you know, the cool kids, they like to call it slow. Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. That's where it's located over here. It's Cal Poly, obviously. San Luis Obispo is the area. But the school is Cal Poly. So, you know, if you're going to school down here, it's like, hey, where are you going? I'm going to SLO. S-L-O.
Going to SLO. SLO. There you go. You got the short form name for Cal Poly for all the locals from Matias. And it sounds like he's banging the drum for Cal Poly tonight in a very late night game against UC Davis. We'll see. You got a Big Sky championship game tonight with a really good game. I know everybody's checking in with the Big Sky all the time. But the one seed Northern Colorado taking on the Grizz of Montana. And you're getting the Grizz right now, catching 2.5. The Grizz are very tough to beat in that tournament, as we know. So a tough challenge for Northern Colorado this evening. We gave you the Grizz last night. That was a Smash City job that they had. Who'd they play last night? Idaho State, right? That late night game? It was Idaho, 78-55. Smash play for Montana last night. Absolute smash play. So we have a lot going on. Hopefully DePaul can get their, can get their act together, and we can get a little rally from them in that. We have NBA, too, including this big game with the Thunder and the Celtics, two of the best teams in the NBA. 33-30 Thunder lead at the end of the first quarter. So you have that going on. SGA with 11 in the first quarter. That's like him. Derek White with 3 threes already for them. Horford with 3 threes. Celtics hit 9 threes in the first quarter, so that's been moving the needle for them. We have a lot going on. We got the golf tonight. We'll do some football with George later. All happening. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's the deal here? They give this kid the basket or what? Or they call the foul before that? I mean, they got the putback, and then he gets two-handed in the back. What'd they call here? And they're putting him on the line. So, seven-point game. This kid, Peavy, better make these free throws now because they had a bucket right behind him. 6.5 to go at the Garden in New York City. The Big East tournament, a tradition unlike any other. This kid misses the first free throw. Like, why are we doing this every night? Why do we put ourselves through this? Watching these college kids that can't make free throws. We do it every March. We sit here and we get involved in this stuff, and none of these kids can make free throws. It's sick. Sick. But it's part of, I guess, why we love it. The unpredictability of it. Like, he made one of them. He made one. So, 6-point game now. Come on. How about getting some stops? Can we get some stops against this DePaul team? Not exactly Duke we're playing here on the other side. I mean, come on. Now, Matias made a good call during the break. There is a game I like a lot later, and that's Rutgers. Now, to be fair, Matias, the reason I like Rutgers isn't that great. Because it hasn't made sense to me all year that Kyle, look at this, an N1. Oh my God, this is getting worse by the second. Oh, Georgetown, they suck. This is what, we've seen these all games like this the last 2 days. These first couple days of these conference tournaments are all teams that suck. That's why they're playing on Tuesday and Wednesday. These teams all suck. And it's like the Virginia Tech-Cal game yesterday, the West Virginia-Colorado game today. Like, all these teams all suck. So you're going to get what you're going to get. This D'Amico with 10 points now. 8-point lead for DePaul as they go for the line, and he makes it for the 9-point lead. As I was saying, Matias, the reason I like Rutgers is really the reason. I mean, it's perplexed me all year why they haven't been better than they are, because they have like two guys that are going to go in the top five of the NBA draft with Bailey and Harper. So it really is bizarre that they were so bad this year. But when you get into these one-and-done games like this, and especially when a bad team like USC, like, Rutgers has the two best players on the floor. That's it. Like, that's it. In these games, these early tournament games, sometimes that's all that matters. So I'm with you. It's Rutgers for me later on.
I like him for the same reasons. No, I like them for the same reasons. And you know what? These players like to play big in these tournaments. That's when they even play bigger. Yeah. And that's where other players fade. That's where guys fade and they don't play the same way that they've been playing in the regular season and Big Ten Conference play. Once you get to the tournament and the lights get a little brighter, that's where guys like Harper and Bailey show out. It's a great game for them to start off, too, against SC. You know, it's going to be – I think it'll be kind of high scoring. The crowd will be into it. It's going to have a tournament vibe. I enjoy the Big Ten tournament for that reason. You know, we're going to see who's real and who's not. You know, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to be going after Michigan the second that they play. I know that they got a bye because they ended up with a top four seed with Wisconsin, you know, losing at home in that final game of the season. So now Michigan has to wait. But whoever gets that Michigan Wolverines basketball team, man, enjoy that one, because that team is sinking, Mike, sinking fast in March.
Yeah, they are sinking. I'm not going to lie to you. They were tough to watch coming down the stretch. Very tough to watch. And it's stunning that they even have one of the four byes in that tournament. It's pretty hard to believe, but they do. We just keep firing away.
Wisconsin lost to Penn State. Wisconsin lost to Penn State on national television in Wisconsin on Sunday. You know, unpredictable type stuff, because Penn State has been terrible, terrible in the Big Ten this year.
Terrible is what they've been. Now, they would play, they actually have the double bye, so they don't play till Friday, right? How about a foul there? You can't call a foul on that kid? What are we doing here? Come on. Here comes Georgetown's trying to get pumped up as they just had a steal and a dunk, but that's like the first offense they've had in like 10 minutes. So they can get as all excited that they want. They just their offense is pathetic. So they can get all. Now, they don't play till Friday, correct? Yeah, Michigan plays the last game Friday night.
Till the last, exactly.
So that means that they are going to play the winner of Purdue and USC Rutgers tonight. So Rutgers-USC is going to play Purdue tomorrow, and then the winner of that game will play Michigan. So Michigan's the last team that's going to play at the Big Ten tournament late Friday night here while we're on. So that'll be tipping probably or starting right around when we're finishing up on Friday night, Matthias. You'll be very excited for that. If it's Purdue, Purdue will beat them. Purdue will beat Michigan Friday night. You know that. I don't have to tell you. You know, you see the writing on the wall.
Of course, they got a guard. They got a guard in Braxton Smith, who could completely dissolve that Michigan, all the Michigan guards. Michigan has had a problem with guards all season long, and now they're being exposed, Mike. They're being exposed now in the last couple weeks. What's happening? You're watching bad basketball. Bad basketball leads to stressful.
That's what it comes down to. It leads to bad basketball. There's another layup for Georgetown. All right, they've got this to five. They're going to tease me here, Matthias. You know that they are. They're going to tease here. 3:44 to go. They're down five. They've actually gotten a couple of stops and made baskets at the other end, which watching the last 10 minutes of this game is pretty unheard of for Georgetown because of how rough they are. So we'll see if they can finish the job here and get back into it. American now up 11 on Navy. Here comes UNLV. So I'm in now, Matthias. I'm under the hat. Not really under the hat, I told you. They were down at the half to Air Force, 4-22 or 4-25 Air Force. So we're in on UNLV to win, and we put it with Rutgers, and we put it with the Gauchos. Anything else? Yes, I'm not done. And we put it with, I think we cherry.
What about Georgia? What about some love for Georgia against Oklahoma? Georgia.
You know, me and Joe were texting about this game earlier today because I did speak with Joe for a little while. Because me and him were so upset about how Notre Dame was so pathetic that they couldn't even come close to that over in that game this afternoon. And we were talking about the Arkansas game as they tried to yak that up. So Joe was on Iowa plus 5.5. So a winner for Joe with Iowa. But he's on Georgetown minus 4.5 with me. And he's on Kansas State plus 5.5, who's getting smashed by Baylor. They're in big trouble. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM. Channel 159. We'll get into the golf later this hour as well. The Players' Championship, UPC Sawgrass, the fifth major. We'll get Brady in later with the picks. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. XM channel 159 on a Wednesday night. Carver, sometimes we see Wednesdays here on the grid. I mean, this kid on DePaul, he just threw up a brick. Come on now, Matthias. Come on. Press him here. Let's go. Get another bucket. Put the pressure on this DePaul team. They'll crack. They're 13-18. It's a garbage basketball team. Another layup to the rack. He tries to dunk it, and he's fouled. Now, this is the same kid who missed the front end, this Peavy. Can he make two this time? Can he make two? For once? Come on here. Give it to us here. Did he get one? All right, you're ahead of me, Matthias. So you're spoiling the fun here for us. 65. It's better if I don't know, and then he misses, and I go nuts. I mean, if you had totally missed right now, imagine.
I'm on the game cast, Mike. I'm on the game cast, Mike. I'm on the game cast here.
Show on me here. I mean, you're trying to get me all riled up. I mean, come on. This UNLV team, they got it to two. Now it's back to five. Come on. Let's go. What channel is that on, Matthias? Who's showing the Mountain West games? Are they on anywhere?
That's usually CBS Sports Network. CBS Sports Network usually takes care of them.
Navy American. They have the Navy American game on. You can't get the Mountain West game anywhere?
For which game?
Streaming it somewhere? Air Force and UNLV.
I
mean, I can't.
Oh, wow. No. No, I don't think anybody. Nobody. I think we have to go to the school website for those ones. To the school God. Stream.
You're gonna have to stream them on the school website in order to see.
Division two basketball status right there. Division two status right
what
there.
What are we doing? What are we doing now? Who'd this go out on here? They calling a timeout or what's happening here? Or are they walking to the other end? Looks like a timeout. 65-62, DePaul's up. All right, Joe just sent me in. This is a Joe bomb for tonight, Matthias. You ready? For everyone out there who loves Joe's parlay bombs, here you go. Oklahoma plus 3.5. Now, I like Oklahoma, too. Sounds like Matthias likes Georgia, it sounded like, when he brought that game up. How about Georgia? So I like Oklahoma as well. So Joe's on Oklahoma plus 3.5. And see, here's where Joe gets greedy. He's so greedy. And we do this all the time. Anthony Edwards for 30. And Cat, Carl Anthony Towns for 30. Oklahoma plus 3.5. He just texted me the slip. Oklahoma plus 3.5. Anthony Edwards for 30. Carl Anthony Towns for 30. Plus 1342 for Joe. Joe's going deep tonight. Oh, look at this one. He's trying to make it happen. So we give him credit for that. I did check with some of the gurus, the bracketology gurus, and I know I saw Lenardi said Ohio State finished, chopped, and it actually moved North Carolina to the inside. So they moved North, he moved North Carolina to in the field and moved, and I think North Carolina's going to win tomorrow. They're playing Wake Forest. So if they could do that at the ACC, they'd be in even better shape. They knew they were finally going to hit one. DePaul's been bricking these threes. They keep take for some reason with a lead, they keep chucking up threes, and they finally made one to extend it back to six, 68-62. George, they've hit their 4 of 11 from 3 in a second, and now an awful turnover. Wheels coming off the bus for Georgetown fairly quickly now. It's getting ugly. It's just not going to happen for them. Tough to see. American now up 17 on Navy. Cal takes the lead on Stanford. Look at Cal showing a little gumption here in the second half, 55-54, looking to get involved. So Cal's making some moves as well. As far as NBA, Hawks up 47-43 on the Hornets. Raptors up 51-35 on the Sixers. I know I said last night no more NBA for me, but I was trying to throw a bomb with Grimes for 30. He's got 11. We could use a little bit more. Can he get to like between 15 and 20 by the half? Maybe. Thunder now up 48-45 on the Celtics. That game is in Boston this evening. How much SGA now? SGA is being a massive pick. I know he's only got 11. Got 11 in the first quarter. He got no points in the second. That's because I got him for 30 tonight. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We'll back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. So, this kid, Peavy, again, I guess he's the only one that scores on Georgetown. He just made another bucket, and he was fouled. So, he's going to go to the line with a chance to get it to 3. Now, they've given up some buckets to last. This kid's a 65% free throw shooter. And he's, but he makes lots of buckets. Let's see what he does here. He made it. 3-point game, 50.4 seconds left. Can I get the reverse of yesterday? You know, yesterday we had the points with Vatek. The game straggled to overtime. We didn't get the cover. Can the Georgetown backer get saved with an overtime here tonight and they end up covering the game? We get that. How about that? Can that happen for us? Maybe? No? All right. Let me finish up some of the NBA. Raptors up 57-39 on the Sixers. Suns are out to a 27-24 lead in the Rockets. The Clippers are up 26-13 on the Heat. They're in Miami tonight. Grizzlies and Jazz 26-24. Getting close to the end of the first quarter. Mavs have a one-point lead over the Spurs. They're in the first. Timberwolves, Nuggets later. Denver minus 2.5. 232.5 is the total. And late night also, the Knicks are in Portland against the Trailblazers. Knicks minus 3.5, 227.5 is the total. And we're looking for a big night from Cat. I think Cat's going to have a big night. So we're going with him tonight. I know I talked Joe off of Cat the last couple games. We're going big with Cat on that. So we'll see. And I think the Blazers will hang around too. Look, you know, Joe's too much sometimes, Matias. He says, wow, not even mentioned in the credits anymore. I mean, he's not on tonight.
Yeah, I know. Look, he'll get all hurt.
What am I supposed to say?
He'll get all hurt, all sensitive.
Like, what? I don't understand. What, I got to tag him? He's not on the show tonight. Now, do I usually tag when I remember? Yeah, but I had a lot of stuff to put in there. Got Brady coming on. Got George coming on. And a lot of college rack. We got a lot of things happening. Like, I didn't, you know, so I didn't tag Joe. You know, gets very sensitive about this stuff. What are we doing here? The great D from Georgetown, but they can't get the steal. 35 seconds left here. They need a stop. And they're not, oh, they put the balls, passing the ball all over the place. They're running out of time. 7 seconds left of the shot clock. The kid heaves up a prayer and misses it. Georgetown's got the ball with 19 seconds left, down three. What's Cooley going to do here? Can we call a timeout? Can we get a TO, baby? No, we're not going to get a TO. He fouls him. So DePaul does the foul, up three with 11 seconds to go. Fouls up three. You see, you better have some good free throw shooters if you're going to do that on the DePaul side. Better have some good free throw shooters. Because now if he makes this, makes it a one-point game, they're fouling you immediately. And you better make yours. And they'll get another crack at it. So this DePaul coach likes that strategy. Who's coaching DePaul now? Man, they've been through so many guys. They have been through so many guys now. Let's see. Who's taking that? Oh, the great Chris Holtman, former Ohio State coach. He's there. Man, he's bounced around, too. He's been in a couple spots. He got kind of hosed at Ohio State. But that's the way the game goes sometimes. So let's see if the... And it's actually not Peavy at the line. We get to see somebody else on Georgetown shoot a free throw. We haven't seen much of that tonight. Not many guys besides Peavy going to the line. This kid shot an air ball. This kid shot an air ball on the front end of a 1-1 in a 3-point game. Now we know why they fouled him. Air ball? Kid shoots an air ball? Down three? With 11 seconds left, he shoots an air ball at the free throw line. He shoots an air ball at the free throw line. You heard me, Matias. Did you hear what I just said? This kid shot an air ball at the free throw line in a 3-point game with 11 seconds left. And then Peacock's got to come and rub it in my face and show the replay. Like, we needed to see that again. Like, I mean, that guy.
You know, Mike, I'm a Clippers fan, so I've been watching DeAndre Jordan airball free throws for years. In the playoffs.
That was brutal. That was absolutely brutal, what we just watched. I'm going to tell you something. Joe would have texted me. Joe's obviously not watching this nonsense. Because I would have heard from that. You see this kid shoot an air ball? Oh, my goodness. Kid on DePaul makes the first. It's a 4-point game. You can shut the door here. Shut the door. UNLV up five. UNLV up five, Matias. All right. Come on now. Cal up four on Stanford. Man, Stanford. Rutgers up three. All right, he missed the second. 10 seconds left. Kid slips. 4-point game. Chucks it from nowhere. Obviously, this game's over now. Now it's really over. So they're going to win probably 71-67 unless they decide to foul again, which hopefully they don't, so that they could just put us all
out of our misery. You should be happy it's over, Mike. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You should be happy that's
that. Believe me, I'm thrilled that it's over because I'm annoyed that I had to watch the last 8 minutes of that game. That was embarrassing. So DePaul wins, and let me tell you something. It's not easy to lose to DePaul at the Big East tournament because they never win at the Big East tournament. They are always one and gone. Like, they don't even book their hotel rooms for more than 2 nights, the DePaul. When DePaul gets the schedule for when the Big East tournament is, they make sure that they only get 2 nights at that place across the street. You know what, where we do the shows in the city, where I use, you know, we go every day over there at the Renaissance? That's where all these teams stay for the Big East tournament. DePaul always books 2 nights because they know that they're not going to be there on Thursday. Now they got to go book another night at the Renaissance before they get whacked by UConn tomorrow night. They're not playing UConn. Who are they playing tomorrow night? Creighton. They're going to get smashed by Creighton tomorrow night. So now look at all the more money that they got to waste, Chris Holtman and the DePaul Athletic Department, by winning that game. You tell I'm upset, Matias? What a gutless performance by Georgetown.
Yeah.
That was awful.
That's what happens when you miss free throws. Stealing your money.
Well, that's what happens when you get this week. You're so excited for championship week. It's conference tournament week. There's a billion games on all day. And as I said to you at the beginning of the show, these Tuesday and Wednesday games are the worst teams in all of these conferences. And it really gets highlighted how miserable and pathetic they all are. Because you watch these games and one team's worse than the next. And you realize why they're playing on Tuesday and Wednesday. You notice, you know, the Houstons and the Dukes and the Auburns and all these, they're playing Thursday and Friday. They don't got to play Tuesday and Wednesday because they're actually good. And all these bad teams play, and we sit here, and because we're so jacked up for this championship week and the tournament and the brackets, we're hammering away on Georgetown and DePaul at the Big East tournament, and both teams are pathetic. You're hammering away on Cal Stanford. Both teams stink. But that's why we love it. We love every second of it. I need a break from the basketball for 20 minutes, and I'm going to get it because tomorrow, something I actually do love, which is the Players' Championship, TPC Sawgrass, the fifth major, all of it. Let's get into it with Brady Cannon. We'll get his picks. I'll give you mine later on as well. Gotta have it. Harvard Leafs Sports Debate. We're back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah. And we're back. Harvard Leafs Sports Grid Radio. 3XM 159 with you on a Wednesday night. Not only are we watching all this college basketball, but it is a golf Wednesday on C2C, and man, you can't get better than this. The Players' Championship, the fifth major, of course, as they always like to dub it, tees off in the morning, TPC Sawgrass, Ponte Vedra, Florida. Stunning course, stunning event, always a lot of fun, always unpredictable, and we have got to get the lay of the land from Brady Cannon before we get going here. Brady, great to see you. As always, my friend, and me and Brady, Liv last week was a winner for us. Sergio.
Yeah, how about that?
We got the Sergio
win. That was great.
At Hong Kong, Brady. So we're off and running with our first. Me and Brady were hot with Liv last year on the coast-to-coast picks. And now we've started here early with Sergio, and hopefully we can carry that through throughout the entire season. Brady, let me start with this with the players. This is such a tough event to cap every single year, despite the fact that it's at the same course every year, and we have so much course history with all of these guys. It's so, the word you hear the most this week is volatile, right? Because
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
so You know, you've got guys with top 10s, missed cut. Top 20, missed cut. Top 20. Like, there's so many missed cuts and good performances from some of the top players. It is a very tough event to get a handle on.
Oh, you're spot on. I mean, there's really no rhyme or reason to the skill set that works the best here. You know, is it a bomber? Is it a short knocker? You know, I think there's two things that you can lean on. Ball striking, which is really the theme of the Florida swing. You got to be good off the tee and you got to be spot on with the irons. You really got to be on fire with the ball striking. And then current form, I think, is one thing that holds true with the Players' Championship. You can't stroll into Ponte Vedra without your game or it's going to just knock you over. So, I mean, those are kind of the two things that I think you want to try and lean on a little bit in your handicap this week. Scrambling is huge. These greens are a little bit smaller. The rough around the greens is tough. You really got to be good at getting up and down and saving par around here. But you're exactly right. I mean, just look at who's won this thing, okay? Craig Perks, Adam Scott, you know, Tiger Woods, Sergio Garcia, Phil Mickelson. And then you've got Matt Kuchar, Fred Funk, Tim Clark, Stephen Ames, you know, a guy that was always on the leaderboard every year, Jerry Kelly, Ian Poulter was runner-up twice, and then Scottie Scheffler, and then Cam Smith. It's really just all over the map. And like you said, Ricky Fowler's a perfect example. He's won here before. He's also missed the cut four or five times. It's just really hard to put your finger on. I would say, and I know he's on your card, the one guy that probably has the most consistent resume here, even though it's not stunning, is Hideki Matsuyama. He's got one top 10, got a lot of top 20s. I think he's only got one missed cut, but his resume is probably the cleanest. Everybody else is a roller coaster.
And with Hideki, of course, everyone always likes to reference he's owed one here. He had that great round, first round leader the COVID year. That who knows what would have happened if that weekend ended up continuing. But the thing with Hideki is, and we might have talked about this either last week with Bay Hill or even the week before, you just never know when he's going to grab his back on the 13th hole on Friday and he's going to go, all right, see you later. You know, I'm out of here. And I think that that's what gets people nervous about betting Hideki Matsuyama at these big events. But Brady, when he's playing well, he's undervalued, never looked at, and you look on Sunday, and there he is, staring you in the face, and he's about to take you down. So I think 33-1, which is the number that I got Hideki at, I don't like playing
that's
him
really
generally,
good.
But the number was too silly. I had to go and take a shot.
Yeah, that's a really good number. I've seen him as low as 23. I've seen 24, you know, at some pretty sharp books, too. And I know some very sharp people that are on him this week. I think a lot of people are on Hideki, recreational players and professionals like Hideki. I feel like I got mine. I timed it right. I had him at the beginning of the year in Maui at the Century. And I also bet him for the Masters. I really think he's going to show up for the Masters. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he shows up this week. You know, so much about this game that we play trying to pick golf winners is timing, right? And sometimes you just don't know if the timing is right. I'm not sure if the timing's right for Matsuyama. I feel like the Masters could be right. I hope it is because I've got a ticket on him in pocket. But you know, you're just trying to, you're crunching all the numbers, you're doing all the data mining and what have you. You're running through, you know, all the trends and, you know, the course history. And then you also kind of have your gut feeling, you know, some hunches on who's playing well and who do I think is going to go well this week. And you hope to land on the right one. And, you know, sometimes you and I are on a few of the same guys. I am not on Hideki this week, but I believe we share, like everybody else, we talked about it, Sepp Straka. He's on everybody's card this week because he makes so much sense. He does everything that you have to do around this place. He's like the best. He probably checks more boxes this week than a lot of guys have checked in any week.
I cannot believe. Now, I should because he's played so well these first 2.5 months of the year. But Brady, everybody, our core four here, me, you, Stewie, and Cam, all four of us are on Sepp. every golf, like all the golf gurus on Twitter, the golf handicappers, I can't find anyone who's not playing Sepp Straka this week. And that's usually, Brady, a recipe for disaster when we start talking about this stuff, because everyone's on this guy.
Well, no, you're right about that. And I hate that situation when I'm on a guy that's so popular. But I'll tell you what, my friends at BetMGM sent me the statistics. Number one in ticket count is Oberg. Number two is Scheffler. Number three is Morikawa. So Straka doesn't even make that list at BetMGM.
Well, that's a good thing. We're going to get the rest of Brady's card when we come back. Carver and Lisa, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisa, Sports Grid Radio. Matias, of course, brings me more bad news. Rutgers out to a great start. 15-7, USC is beating them there in Indianapolis, first round of the Big Ten tournament. All right, Brady, let's get to your card. You mentioned that you're on Sepp Straka. You've got him at 42-1. Give me everybody else you have this week.
I took Morikawa. You know, I thought there was going to be some anti-Morikawa sentiment out there after not being able to close the deal at Bay Hill, but I was wrong. Actually, people like Morikawa this week, and we were talking off air about some sharp books and this and that, and I've seen some sharp books, you know, lower their price on Morikawa. So, you know, it's kind of like Matsuyama. I think there's a lot of recreational and sharp money on Colin Morikawa. I got him at 14. I've seen as low as 9-1. I took Aaron Rye at 50. I took Daniel Berger at 55. I really, you know, we were talking about timing in the segment before. I think the timing could be right for Daniel Berger. It feels like he is really close to kicking that door down. You know, it wasn't that long ago, this guy was a top 15 player in the world, and he suffered injury, missed nearly 2 years on tour. Guy is almost back. He is really close. He's finished top 10 here before twice. He makes sense at all the correlated courses. I like Daniel Berger, got him at 55. And then, Mike, we were also talking the randomness, the volatility, you know, no rhyme or reason here. Anybody can win. These leaderboards are populated with Fred Funk and Tiger and everything in between. So I took some long bombs, and I took JT Poston at 100-1. I took J.J. Spahn at 110, and I took Joel Damon at 150.
You know, you talk about long bombs. I was telling you, I had a couple too. So I had Nick Taylor at 120 for the long bomb.
Good number.
You talk about the iron games, the mid-range game, etc. I mean, I think Taylor's been as good as anyone the first 2.5 months of 2025 in those areas. And if he can catch a little hot putter like he has in the past at the Waste Management to win last year, et cetera, maybe we can get Nick in the door. The other bombs, you know, I know this is another, like, most popular guy, like, right after Sepp Straka. Michael Kim, very popular too, Brady. And I was able
to
get
him early. Boy, has he been
hot, huh? He's played great. And I got an early click at 90 with him on Sunday night. So I took a Michael Kim at 90, and he's down in the 70s now. And I took one more really huge one. For a guy, and I know this guy's got problems playing all 4 days, and he's going to break your heart probably if he's got a lead. But for a guy who has set a course record here to be 300-1, 300-1
for
a guy who has
the sandwich.
Yep, Hoagie. And you know, it's just look, and I'm going to back that up obviously, and they're really good prices to back up, whether it's a top 10 and a top 20 for Hoagie as well, but. He's got a tremendous iron game play that fits here. And we talk about the volatility with some guys. He actually has, I think he's made the cut 6 of the last 7 years at this event. So he's got success at making the cut, and he's got the course record.
Yeah, I would say the only thing that seems to be a little bit off with Tom Hoagie is his current form. But there's no doubt about it. He's played well here before. There's no doubt about it. He fits the profile. He can putt as well. So, yeah, no, I mean, 300, that's a good price on Tom Hoagie. You don't, you know, I don't, you know, sometimes, Mike, and you know how this is, 90% of the time in sports betting, it's all about the price. Okay,
I mean,
if you're getting Matt Fitzpatrick at 400-1, I don't care what kind of form he's in, that's a hell of a price. Yeah. So same thing, Tom Hoagie, Okay, maybe you don't really like him to win this week, but you can't ignore that price. That's a hell of a bargain.
Can't ignore him. I'm with you on Damon. I played him 10 and 20. I'm going to play I didn't play him to win. Maybe I'll add him, but I did play him 10 and 20 just because I like the way that he's playing right now. Three matchups to you for you head-to-head. Quickly, what do you got?
I've got Andrew Novak at minus 125 over Cam Davis. Again, a ball striker there is Novak. Damon, plus 135 over Austin Ekrod. I thought that price was ridiculous. You know, that matchup ought to be closer to a pick'em, in my opinion. And then Ben Griffin at minus 145 over Max Gracerman. I'll continue to fade Gracerman until I can see this guy have some mental toughness. I mean, he just, as soon as he, you know, starts to have some success, he just falls apart like a cheap suit. So I'll bet against Max Gracerman.
Me and Cam played him today for top debutant at 9-1. We played Gracerman. top debutant.
He might be. Like, how many times have you seen that guy fold?
Yeah. Oh, he folds. I don't deny it. He folds. You had one of the best tweets ever before we go. One of the worst golf bets you could make, and also one of the most fun. First round leaders, Brady's got Morikawa, Straka, Nicholas Højgaard, and Ben Butler. Brady in the first round. Brady, let's get it at the Players. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Live. Singapore. Let's go. I'm back.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's C-O-T-A.com. Good luck to all the runners.